Welcome to Player Pass, your weekly Xbox Game Pass podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Fouché, and along with me is my co-host, Justin Summers. We're here to let you know what games you should be playing on Game Pass this week. This is episode 30. How you doing this week, Jake?
Oh, man, doing good. Been playing, actually, just hopped off playing some Apex to get on here and record this episode. See, I've been gaming a little bit this week, so I'm looking forward to this episode. I know you have a game review for us this week, so I'm excited to hear about that and hear about your time in that game. So yeah, I'm ready for our 30th episode.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be good, and I'm ready to hear about. I hadn't had a chance to play Apex since it's had the biggest update, so I know you've been playing that, and I'm ready to hear about that at towards the end of the episode. But we're gonna go into the news first, and really the only news we have this week is the games that are coming to Game Pass, and it was a pretty good list, I thought, this week. And so we're going to start with August the 5th. There are, oh my goodness, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games coming on August the 5th. So, yeah, that's pretty, I'll get like these first three, and I'll talk about them. So, the first one is Curse of the Dead Gods. This is a Dead Cells update. I'm not sure, like, this is not super clear on what that update is. I've played Dead Cells a fair bit, and updates for, like, these kind of games seem kind of weird. I don't know, because, you know, it's a roguelike game where you just kind of, you start over every time. So I don't know if this is just, like, extends the gameplay or not, like, once you get near the end. So, or if it's just like a different area that you kind of run into, like mid runs, but I've heard good things about it, so it sounds pretty good. And then that's coming to cloud console and PC. And then Dodgeball Academia, that one's also on cloud console and PC. It's an ID at Xbox game, and it is an RPG sports game revolving all around dodgeball. So that seemed pretty interesting to me. I don't know. I know I've heard of these RPG sports games that seem like a really weird concept, but like on the Switch, there's a golf story game. It's an RPG, but it's golf, and people say it's like one of their favorite games. So I don't know. Maybe that'll kind of hit on the same as that. And then this third one is one I'm pretty excited for. And I had, not this game, but the sequel is Katamari Damacy Reroll. And so that game is just insane. You remember me playing the sequel to that one?
That would be Beautiful Katamari, right?
Yeah, it was Beautiful Katamari. It was the one I got. It was on 360. So this, this is the original game. Oh, you go ahead.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you playing that game a good bit back, you know, high school. Maybe a little bit after that. I remember you playing the sequel to it a lot.
Oh, yeah, that game was it was insane. And I've heard this one's actually better than I don't know if that's just people talking, but yeah, no, I'm pretty pumped to play this one and just see how it goes. I'm definitely going to jump into that one.
Yeah, when I saw that one in the list, I knew that would be one that you would jump on. And also the Dodgeball Academia, that's something I kind of may let you jump into and figure out what you think and let me know. Let me know what you think about that. For the next four that are coming August 5th, we've got Lumens Remastered. It's a puzzle game that marries sound, light. Sounds like it's like a kind of a just a high intensity, high energy, a lot of colors and a lot of different elements that it puts into the game. That's kind of going to be kind of works your senses, your sight and sound senses. So I don't know much about it besides that, but from the description they're giving, it sounds like it's just going to be kind of an experience when you're playing it. Also coming that, and that one's for cloud console and PC. It's also an ID at Xbox game. And then from EA, we've got Skate, which is coming to console. And then we have Skate 3, which is coming to cloud through EA Play. So I don't think I've ever played either any of the skate games. Like I used to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater back in the day. I used to play a lot of Tony Hawk, and there's another skateboarding game that I played a lot. I don't remember what it was called. But I hadn't played any of these skate games, any of these newer age skateboarding games. But they're probably a lot of fun. Maybe one that I have to jump into and give a try, because I used to really, really enjoy the skateboarding games. And then the last one coming on August 5th is a game preview. It's Starmancer, and that's coming to PC only. So it is an ID and Xbox game, but it'll just be for PC, available August 5th.
Yeah, and I'm a little confused on the Skate and Skate 3. It might be like a not a remake, but like a, you know, re-coming back. So Skate might be the newest one. I'm not sure.
I do not know either. If I had to guess, I would say that Skate is the newest one, but it could just be the first in the sequel, meaning the trilogy. So I do not know.
Yeah, I tried to look on the app and it didn't give me any clarification on that. So let's see, these last three, I really only know about one of them. Well, I know about two of them. One of them seems kind of weird. But one of them is Art of Rally, and that's another ID at Xbox game. That's coming on August the 12th, and it's just a racing game with it's a stylized experience inspired by the golden era of Rally, and it's from the creators of Absolute Drift. So it's just kind of like your normal rally car racing game. But the one I'm super pumped about is on August the 13th. It's coming to cloud, console, and PC, and that's Hades. So this is a roguelike dungeon crawler that's all about the son of Hades and has a bunch of like Greek gods and all the stories around them and stuff. So I'm really excited about this one because it was like game of the year contender in a lot of people's minds. So I'm pretty excited about that one.
I saw you posting on Twitter, and whenever you, I think you were replying to Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass tweet where you're talking about Hades. So I knew after I saw that, I said, yeah, FJ's freaking ready for, he's ready for this game. He can't wait.
Oh, yeah. And it sounds like a lot of people got in on that tweet. And
oh, yeah.
Really, they seem to be wanting this one, too.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely the most popular, the most anticipated one for this group, for sure.
Yeah, out of that, I saw the most anticipation for this one and the Katamari Reroll.
Oh, yeah. So those two
were... seem to be the favorites of this release window. And then the last one is a little weird. It's Microsoft Solitaire Collection Premium Edition. This is coming just to the PC, and I'm guessing it's just Solitaire. I don't know.
I would assume that it'd just be, you know, Solitaire.
Yeah, it says it's got some daily challenges and competitive events and Xbox achievements. So I don't know. I love Solitaire, but I usually just play with a deck of cards more than I play on the PC. And anyway, isn't Solitaire on pretty much any PC to begin with?
I know it used to be. Now new PCs, I have no idea. Like I don't think my Mac has has Solitaire, but it might. I know they used to come standard. I used to play it a ton when I was a kid on the old desktop that we had. But hey, I mean, people love Solitaire, so. It may be something that a lot of people are super excited about. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I typed in Solitaire on my PC right now, and it says Microsoft Solitaire Collection is an app. So I don't know. I guess maybe if you do have a Mac or something, you have your Game Pass on there, you can play Solitaire.
Yeah. The a couple things that are coming through EA Play, it's just talking about things that the racing games that are available through EA Play. I think most of these are already in there, but you've got Dirt 4, Dirt Rally 2.0, F1 2020, and Grid. So that's just showing, highlighting some of the racing games that are coming or that are already in there available through EA Play. So there's a high volume of racing games that are kind of taking the forefront as far as EA Play here recently. So There's also some DLCs and some game updates that that are going to be coming out yeah. this next month. So there's a lot of stuff to look forward to that are coming within the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, the only one that really stuck out to me there was that Forza Motorsport 7 is leaving on September the 15th. But it says that if you had been a Game Pass subscriber and that you purchased any DLC for the game while it was on there, that you will receive a token to keep the game so you can keep playing it after it's gone. So I thought that's pretty cool. But yeah, that one's leaving, which is kind of weird. I guess Forza is a first-party game, but I guess there's so many license things they have to run into because of all the cars and stuff like that they can't keep them on there indefinitely. But with good news, as always, the sad news, the game's leaving, and there are 7 games leaving, and the first one is, we had already mentioned this one before, but Grand Theft Auto 5 is leaving on the 8th. We actually have a date for that now. And on the 15th, Ape Out and Crossing Souls are 2 PC games that are leaving. And then 4 games that are leaving cloud, console, and PC are Darksiders Genesis, Don't Starve, Final Fantasy VII, and Train Sim World 2020. So, if you want to get those, get that 20% discount on those before they leave, make sure to do that. And maybe Final Fantasy VII leaving's like, hey, we're going to put the remake on there when it comes to Xbox. That's just me hoping, but we'll see.
Yeah, so hopefully none of those games are something that you're in the middle of, but if it is, you don't have that much longer to kind of jump in and finish those. So if those are some that you were interested in playing or that you're currently playing, make sure you try to get those downloaded and finished up. But yeah, Fache, let's kind of jump into the game. I think you said you beat the game this week, so kind of jump in, tell us what you're playing, and kind of give us this game review. I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh yeah, so this game Omno is the game, and it came out on Game Pass. I think it was this week, wasn't it?
Maybe? Yeah, I think it was at least within the last few weeks for sure.
Yeah, it was really soon. But I decided to jump in and play it because this was one of the ones I saw a long time ago at the ID at Xbox event they had earlier in the spring, and it looked really interesting. So I was going to jump on it pretty much day one, or the first chance I got to play it. But it's a single-player puzzle game, and that's mainly what you're trying to do is just solve some puzzles, but it's not as hard as a bunch of other puzzle games, and it's not really as many puzzles either. And I think you would call it a puzzle game, but I would mainly, it's also just fun to explore the world and stuff and just see what's going on around you and, discover what the world has to show you. But there's, as you go through the game, you go through a few different biodomes that you can explore. So it's, some areas, a swampy area, desert, snow, and some other stuff. So, you'll usually do, 2 levels or so in these unique biodomes, but all of them are very different, but they're all really beautiful in their own way. The art style of this game is really stylistic and really wonderful, and I don't know, it's this magical feel. Almost everything is weightless almost. I don't know. It's something that you really have to see to really understand. But it is a very beautiful game, even though it's not, the graphics aren't incredible. It's not a lot of polygons and stuff and, realistic stuff. And stuff is kind of it has sharper edges to it, but the art style is really good and really does well with that.
Is it kind of, not necessarily similar, but does it kind of remind you of the, oh my gosh, what's the space game that me and you both really liked? Where you're... Lost Planet popped in my head just because we talked about that last week. That's not it, but this guy is you're on this other planet, and it's very really colorful, and you have all these crazy creatures.
Oh yeah, Astroneer.
No, that's not that. No, that's not the one I was talking about. You did a review on this game.
I did.
I just can't think of what it's called.
Yeah, Journey to the Savage
Planet. Yeah, Journey to Savage Planet. Does it kind of? I haven't played it, but I saw a little bit of your gameplay and some of your clips, and it just kind of looks like it kind of reminds you of just that crazy, colorful world that kind of takes you to a different place. It kind of reminded me of that. Is it similar to that in any way?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like even like the graphics are like maybe even less polygons than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a new. You discover this world where it's all kind of like stuff you've never really imagined. But at the same time, like that game's kind of like pokes fun at it. But this game just really like dives into it and makes you feel like this is a world that's like it's already there. And like you're just kind of getting to go and take a vacation there and just walk through it for a little bit. But yeah, like, as you go through these unique areas, there's also unique creatures in each one of them. So that's one of the things, like when you run across a new creature, it like logs it in this just different log of animals that you've run into. And so when you discover them, like one thing that everything in the game has like this light energy to it. And so when you run into those creatures, you can like do something different to them, like hit the ground beside them and they'll drop some of this light energy, and you use that to get like this orb later on in the level. And so like it's really cool to see how each animal responds to you. Like there's one that like surfs beside you as you're going along. There's one that when you run dash beside it, it goes up in the air and you can keep dashing and make him like continue to float in the air. And they're just, each one of them is different and unique, and you can read a little blurb about them. But also as you go, like every other level just about, you get a new ability. And so like you'll use that new ability to progress in the next few levels, just solving puzzles and getting to the areas that you need to beat that level. And so when you're trying to beat an area, you have three orbs that you have to find. And then when you find three orbs, it like unlocks this main puzzle of each section that you can go and try to do. But three is all that it takes. And I thought this was pretty cool, is in each area there's like five or six orbs that you can find. But all you need is three to like do the puzzle to unlock the next area. And so this lets you, like, if you're not like a little kid, could like have fun with this game and probably still beat it, because they could find like three orbs that allow them to get to the next area, even though they might not be able to get all of them. So like I like that it's accessible to a bunch of people, but also like you have the challenge to go and try to 100% it if you want to. And then, so like as far as collectibles, there's really not much. There's like those orbs that you have to get in each level. Those creatures that I talked about that like fill out your logbook when you run into new ones. And then there's also these things, they're sort of like, I guess, books, kind of, not really. But when you walk up to them, you can read a little bit of part of the story. It's like this person has come before you and left a little journal remarks, so you can kind of see like the world building around it and like what was going on before you got there. And so that's really all you have to do. Like if you want to 100% the game, you just have to collect all the orbs in the area, find every creature that's unique to that area, and then read all these books. And there's like three per, I say books, it's really just like one line of dialogue that you can read, and it's just talking about like what this guy is thinking about as he's going through his journey before you. And so you find like three of those, and then you 100% area. Like I could 100% area in 10, 15 minutes, just depending on how big it was.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, I'm sure you didn't complete, you know, do 100% the game, but how close did you get to collecting all the collectibles and finding all the creatures during your playthrough? Or did you get 100% of the game?
Yeah, I actually did get 100%. Oh, like it, and that was with all achievements too. So like the most of the achievements, really what you have to do to get most of them is just as you play throughout the game, you're going to get a number of them. But every time you 100% an area, you get an achievement. And then there's like a, I think there's like four achievements that I had to go read to, it's like you react a certain way to a certain creature. So I had to go read those, but they weren't hard to do. So yeah, and it only took me, when I looked at my app, it said it took me 3 hours and 45 minutes to 100% it. And I don't even think that's true. I tried to be better about pausing my game and then going to the home screen so that the time wouldn't click up. But of course, there was a few times my son, he didn't want me to play it sometimes. So I just had to pause it and calm him down for a little bit. So there's some minutes ticked up just here and there. So I really think it was about 3 hours, no more than 3 hours to complete this game 100%.
That's pretty, that's pretty enticing in itself. Just knowing that you can jump in within, you know, maybe three hours for you, probably more like 4.5, 5 for me to like 100% a puzzle game like this. But that makes it very, a lot more willingly, you know, makes you more willing to jump into it and give it a go, just knowing that it's that short of a game that where you can accomplish that much. What about storylines? Is there much of a story to this game, or is it mostly just exploration? How's the story in it?
So yeah, with like a 3 hour game, you know, there's not going to be a ton of story, but like they do pack some emotional stuff into it. And with those little books I was talking about earlier, like it kind of builds the world around you a little bit and kind of tells you somewhat of what was going on. And so like it's pretty good. And it's told through like silent characters, because you have your guy, he doesn't talk, but he runs into like this little animal that like he gets attached to. And so like you just see them react to each other. And so that's kind of how the story's told. And even at the end though, like I'm not great at stories told like this and I don't really get exactly what they're trying to say. I don't know what that says about me, but I'm not very good at like games like Dark Souls and anything. Hollow Knight. I was thinking Bug Fables because that's the most current bug game I've played. But
yeah,
Hollow Knight, it kind of tells the story through like little places to the side and you read and stuff and like very cryptic. So I'm not very good.
Figure out the story for yourself.
Yeah, I kind of need it to be force fed to me.
I'm the same way.
But no, it was like in the little cutscenes I had, like it was like a sweet story and stuff.
I've always been a sucker for a good story. So whether it be video games, movies, TV shows, whatever, the story is good. It kind of sucks me in and gets me hooked. But something like that where you gotta, you know, I'm sure the story would be good regardless, but having the story told to me, you know, I get to play the game and have the story told to you makes a difference for me. I like being able to just enjoy the story instead of having to try to figure it out. But what about, I know you talked about some of the abilities progressing as you play. What are some of the abilities that you can actually work to get to gain and actually get throughout your playthrough?
So yeah, when you start the game, you don't have any abilities really. Like you can, like you have a staff, so you can like hit the ground beside like a rock and break the rock to get some of those light energy that I was talking about earlier. But as you go through, like you get, one thing that was pretty fun, or I don't know if fun's the right word, it was pretty interesting about the game, is a lot of games handheld really bad now, but this one, like, it just threw me in there. I had no idea what was going on, and it really wasn't even telling me the controls, but like it gave me enough to know what to do, but I had no idea what direction the game was going in. I didn't know what the objective was. It just drops you in there. But it's really like it leads you, like it's pretty simple to find out what it is. But I like that part of it. But each time you gain a new ability, it pretty much just shows you this is the button to use this ability, and that's all. Like it doesn't which I liked a lot.
Yeah, not for sure.
It's intuitive. Like, it lets you just use the ability. Like, it's not like you have to, oh, here's a new ability. Let me take you to this little side mission that takes you 5 minutes to practice using this ability. No, it's just like, here's a new ability. This is the button you press.
Go figure it out.
Yeah, go figure out what you need to do with it. And so, like, it's like a dash, and then, like, you can ride, surf around on your little staff. It's good for moving around. And then I won't get into, like, the ones you get later just because they're fun to use. And, like, it's they do a really good job. But, I don't know. It feels fun to move with these abilities. Like, they're useful, but also just they feel good. And it's also pretty quick. Like, you get the new abilities fast enough to be like, okay, like, I was just like, I think I've done what I need to with this ability, and now I've gained a new one that just kind of like opens up some new traversal and stuff like that. And so nothing wears out its welcome before you get to the next one. I don't know. I just enjoyed the game a lot. And I would definitely give this one a recommendation just because it is short and it's easy and it's very, very calming. One thing about the game is that, like, you're not fighting off enemies. There's nothing hostile in the game. So you don't have to worry about getting killed. And I guess you can die, like, if you fall off the map. But it's pretty generous with its checkpoints. And so, like, if you fall off the map, you just, like, pop up right back to get to do what you were about to do. So it's not punishing in that way, but it doesn't make it feel like it's, like I said, it's not holding your hand, and it's not just super easy. It's definitely not a hard game. This is not like, if you want to be challenged in a game, this is definitely not the game that you want to play, but if you want to relax and still be engaged with a game, this one's really good for that.
So it's always good to have a game to fall back on that kind of just gives you a break from all of the, you know, all of the Call of Duties and Apexes and Rocket Leagues and just insane fighting that you do in some games that can be so frustrating. It's good to have a fallback to a game like this that you can jump onto and not worry about having to freak out after 45 minutes of playing. So it's nice to have a game like that to fall back to, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there was only one time in the whole game where one of the puzzles kind of stumped me for a little bit, and that's because I was trying to make it way too complicated. I was looking at the puzzle, and it has, like, not hieroglyphics, but, like, different symbols and stuff. And so I was like, okay, maybe I have to decipher this and figure out what number that means. But no, that was way, way too out there. It's not, you don't have to decipher hieroglyphics or anything to solve any puzzles. So if you're going in that direction on a certain puzzle, stop.
I'm glad you said that, because that is something that happens to me on puzzle games so much. Like, I try to overanalyze. Like, at the beginning, you know, most of the puzzles are pretty simple. And then as you get further into these puzzle games, I always try to overanalyze. I'm like, oh, I got to do, I bet this is what I got to do. And it's something super complicated. And then I end up having to just, like, push something 10 feet to the opposite direction, and you're on to the next part. I'm like, come on, dude. It's like, I overanalyze every single thing when I jump into some of these puzzle games. But yeah, I'm glad you were able to complete the game. I didn't know if you would, I knew you were going to be talking about Omno, but I didn't know if you'd have time to complete it. So I'm glad you got to complete it, and glad you had a good time with it. So this is definitely one that would be, you know, one that I think I would enjoy playing, not necessarily, you know, jumping into it and trying to complete it as fast as possible. One that would be fun to just jump into, play some here and there, just to kind of take a break from all the other games that we play all the time.
Oh yeah, no, that's great for that. And but yeah, I would recommend it to anybody. And I think it's a game that anybody could play. Like, it's not gonna, like, anybody from, like, a young child to, that's, like, wanting to just start playing video games, pretty much, to just a veteran of video games, would would still really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you get to play anything else this week besides Omno? I know you you had a good time with that and you actually, you know, beat it 100%, but where did you have any time to jump into anything else this week?
Yeah, I had a little bit of time other than that. There was one night me, you, and one of our buddies played Apex. That was, I think, the only time I played. No, I played Apex a couple times this week as well. Won a couple games, lost a lot more. but no, we had some pretty good times there. And then played Rocket League also for like 30 minutes. And it wasn't as terrible as normal, so that was fun.
Yeah, we had some good games that night.
Yeah, but I guess the only we did play The Ascent for about an hour, and that was a pretty cool game.
I really enjoyed the time that we spent in that game. It was a little different, and we have me and you played a few games already in Game Pass that were similar as far as the play style and the gameplay that were similar, but this is probably the one that I enjoyed the most out of some of these two or three similar games that we've played. I really had a good time. At the start, it was a little weird because I joined your party or your game, and I had, like, all I could do was literally walk and shoot. I couldn't pick up anything. I couldn't do any of the actions until we got to got through the first little part and into the next lobby and then onto the next level. Then I was able to pretty much have full control like you did. But yeah, it was a little weird at the start, but it was the gameplay was actually pretty fun. I mean, I had a really good time, and I think it'll be one that we could definitely jump into and play some more going forward, because it was one of those to be the game it was, some of the areas that we were in were just massive. Like, that one area that me and you walked around for like 10 minutes, like, I don't know how that's even possible to have an area that big in a game like this. I was like, this is insane. But yeah, I had a really good time playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have liked to, like, gameplay wise, like, we missed out on a bunch because we were just stuck in this huge area for forever.
Yeah. Out of the hour that we played, it was like 10 or 15 minutes. And we were just running around in this massive lobby type, you know, buy stations where you can talk to all the vendors and buy all your stuff. It's like, golly, it's like 40 levels to this place.
We didn't even explore all of it.
Nowhere near all of it.
Yeah, but no, that's one I'd like to jump back into.
Yeah, for sure.
I know you've been playing some Apex since the new season came out. I want to hear a little bit about it.
All right, so Apex Season 10 started yesterday. It was a 60 gig update for those of you who haven't updated it yet. Just be prepared. It is a fairly substantial update. Luckily, mine updated while I was at work, so I didn't have to worry about it last night when I got home. I just jumped straight in and started playing. But yeah, it's a and let us know in the comment section of Apple Podcast, or if you want to do it on Twitter or Instagram or wherever. Let us know if you would like to, you know, like for us to take a deeper dive into this new season of Apex, because it's, you know, it's something that Apex is something that I know more about than most everything else that we can talk about. You know, I'm a huge Apex fan. So if y'all would like us to get into more detail other than the small description we're going to give today, let us know. We can always come back to that and take a deeper dive into Apex Season 10. But yeah, Season 10 came out yesterday and introduced a new character named Seer, who is a recon character. And so far, in my opinion, he is the alpha recon character. He is so stinking good. I played him. I've pretty much been playing him the past, you know, I played last night for a few hours, and then when I got home today, I played for a couple hours. And he's definitely, I mean, there's the recon characters are some of the best characters in the game as far as playability. You know, you got Bloodhound, who has been the best recon character for a while. But yeah, Seer, he takes it to a new level. He kind of mixes Crypto and Bloodhound. For those of you who play the game and know those two characters, he's kind of a mix of the two of those. He's got a slight EMP that he does that also highlights enemies' locations, and then his ultimate is just puts out a huge dome where it highlights enemies and follows their steps for like 25-30 seconds or something. I mean, it's he's insanely good. So they did a really good job with the character. Introduced a new weapon, which is the Rampage, which it is insanely good. I am insanely bad with it right now. I haven't figured out the rhythm of it because it has a super slow fire rate that can also be charged with thermites. So you can charge it with thermites and it increases the fire rate and the damage. But if you don't have a thermite, the fire rate's super slow. It's taken me a minute to kind of figure out that pace of it and get good with that weapon. That's a big deal. A lot of people are using that. I'm getting shredded by that quite often.
That seems like a weird concept for
a
weapon.
I mean it's a crazy gun.
It might be fun.
Like they made it as a Rampart special weapon. Like, Rampart's the LMG character, and she's known for using LMG, so it's something that they brought into it that I think they're probably going to have to tone it down. It is super overpowered, but it is fun and it is insane to use. I just got to get better at it. And then they added a new ranked version, which you had ranked regularly, but they added ranked arenas, which I played some last night. And I think I'm really going to enjoy that. It gives me more reason to play arenas. I normally really liked arenas, but I just missed that competitive side of it, being able to play ranks. So I think that's going to be huge for arenas. I think it'll get a lot of players in there because I know I've already jumped into it some, a lot more with that. So they changed up the way the ranking system works for arenas. It's different than your regular ranked public matches or ranked matches. Overall, I mean, this season they've had a couple issues, some audio issues, some connection issues, which is, normal. It's what you expect with a new season of Apex. That's just what's going to happen. But besides that, I think it's been a really good start to a season, probably one of the best ones in the past few seasons, in my opinion. Like, I think the start of this season has been great. They've made a lot of changes to some of the maps. They've actually not yet, because this whole first week it's all staying on one map, the new map they made the most changes to. But next week it'll go into a 3-map rotation for your public matches, which I'm super excited about because you can only play so much on 2 maps, or mainly the Olympus map that you can. I really like that map, but it gets old a lot faster than the other maps. So it'll be good to have that 3rd map thrown into the rotation to kind of lessen that time. But yeah, there's so much more I could talk about jumping into season 10 because it's something that I've been looking forward to since they announced it. But yeah, I've been spending most of my time the past couple of days playing that. And then, I played a little bit of Apex. I mean, a little bit of Rocket League. And then we jumped into the Ascent. But I'm looking forward to this next week, jumping in and trying to get in some more ranked games and kind of figure out the ins and outs of that ranked arenas and see how that works. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for this week. So let everybody know where they can find us, Tank.
Yeah, follow us on all our socials. Like I said, if you want to leave us a message and let us know what you thought about this episode, what you think about going in depth of an episode on another episode of Apex Season 10, any comments you have, any questions you have, you can reach out to us on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram at PlayOrPassPod, or you can send us an email to playorpass.xboxgamepass@gmail.com.
Yeah, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you're listening. And then just reach out to us and let us know what you want to hear. And so we'd like to just kind of grow the community and really get to know y'all better so that we can give you the content that you want to hear. But we enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it this week as well. And we'll see you back here next week.
See you.